everybody, and welcome back to the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. This is Diana Chen, and I'm here with your host, John Abrams. Today, we're going to be going a little bit local and talking about the Chicago Digital Retail Hub. So, John, why don't you just kick us off? Tell us about the Digital Retail Hub in Chicago.
Sure. Where should I start? I think I'll start with why Chicago means anything to global retail. And it may predate the formation of Sears Roebuck, but I really think that it was activated by the innovation of Sears Roebuck and Company back in mid to late 1800s, where as a catalog operation, Sears chose Chicago because of its proximity to rail. And so if you've got a, I think to make this relevant to all of the folks that use Amazon today and don't shop at Sears, Sears was the Amazon of the 1800s and 1900s. And in fact, if you, Sears is now in bankruptcy and they've been in bankruptcy for some time. But if you go back to 1870, Sears was the Goliath in retail, and they were very innovative. They were very efficient in how they shipped goods, and they were able to communicate using a catalog with people throughout the entire country. And Sears eventually became a global powerhouse with stores, physical retail stores, but they were certainly in the early days of Sears, their primary business was getting catalogs distributed throughout the country, throughout the U.S., and eventually throughout North America, and eventually on a global scale, although one could argue that by the time they were fully global, the idea and the foundation for much of their innovation, which was rail and speedy or expedited delivery through rail to major metros, you kind of lose that once you go beyond the boundaries of North America, or because you just don't have the same efficiencies. But if we focus just on Sears and then eventually Montgomery Ward, they were built in Chicago and expanded and grew in Chicago because of the ability to ship goods efficiently and receive in warehouse and cross dock all of those goods way more efficiently in Chicago than you could in, say, Florida. So you just don't have the access to rail and the hub and spoke rail setup that existed in the 1800s. And of course, certainly started to fall off in the 1950s and later. But through, I would say, 1950, rail was the primary means of shipping and was the engine that allowed Sears to grow. So if you understand how innovative retail in Montgomery Ward and Sears Roebuck, if you understand those companies as the Amazons of their time, their footprint was massive in Chicago. And just take the catalog aspect, R.R. Donnelly, which was a massive printer in Chicago, was massive because they printed the Sears catalog. And so R.R. Donnelly, which got into phone books and many other large-scale, heavy paper consumables, they were anchored in Chicago because of Sears. And there is even, if you draw concentric circles, Sears at the center, and then things like your catalog operation, and the next circle out, how do you represent a product in a Sears catalog? Well, you need artists, and eventually you need photographers. And those photography studios are all across Chicago. If you go to the West Loop, which is undergoing tremendous revitalization now, there are dozens of photography studios that are throughout the West Loop and all across Chicago, because those artists and those photographers were largely feeding the Sears catalog. And so you have this ecosystem of support services that were all in support of the retail giant Sears. And so today, you look at some of the more modern versions that are supporting retail. So product information management, that's a system, a technical system. But you look at the number of product information companies that are based in Chicago or who have moved to Chicago from other countries or other parts of the world. They're moving here because the photography studios morphed into places where content was created for retailers such as Sears, but it expanded well beyond Sears. So some of those, say Gladson, which is a Chicago area company. I think they are now headquartered in Chicago. They have rebranded as Syndigo. That company is anchored in or originated from Gladson, which would go into stores at night with the approval of the store, take pictures of the products, and then resell that product information, that product image, back to retailers or even manufacturers. And so you have this very modern company doing product information management and acquiring lots of affiliated tech companies and services. You have that anchored in Chicago because you can trace its lineage to photography and to the origin of product content. And there are others, certainly lots of more modern product information management companies, so pure product information, pure software. But you have Syndigo, you also have not Salsify, although Salsify is opening a Chicago office. So Salsify, pure product information management, no history of Chicago retail, but coming to Chicago because of the concentration of product information management services that are here.
Great. Yeah. So definitely sounds like Chicago is a digital retail hub, and it has been for many, many years. And it's funny that you bring up Montgomery Ward as I'm speaking to you from one of the former Montgomery Ward buildings in Chicago.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. So not to totally give away my residence to everybody listening to this podcast, but they've converted all their buildings into condo buildings, or not all of them, but a couple of their buildings into condo buildings. And one of them is where I currently reside.
So I won't try and give up too much, but most of the Montgomery Ward campus was Chicago Avenue at the river. And if you, and I'm not sure what building you're in, but there's a tower, which was more modern. And then it would be the north of the tower is a set of buildings that Groupon has a lot of space in. So it's really interesting that Groupon, which is a modern version of couponing, now exists as a modern entity in what used to be a Montgomery Ward warehouse that was located on the Chicago River because it was easier to ship things by river to various places. But the river and the rail hubs that are both in Chicago, the river is the river, but the rail hub, which actually plays off the river, you're in a facility that is located geographically because of the access to transportation. So it's really kind of interesting to see how those retail giants, and they were giants. There wasn't, Amazon is very dominant today in our culture. These were bigger at the time than what Amazon is today. And I don't mean revenues. I mean, there wasn't an alternative. You couldn't go on the internet and find the alternative to Sears. It didn't exist other than in Montgomery Ward. So fascinating that you are actually in that that facility.
Cool. Is interesting how, Sears, Roebuck, Well, and then Montgomery Ward has turned into this like super modern Groupon concept. There's a bunch of other software companies in that building as well. Big Ten Network is in there. It's just become like so modernized and such a vibrant place. And it's funny that you brought up the river too as a mode of transportation because of all the heavy rains we got last night. That part of the Riverwalk is completely flooded. It's all closed off because it's all underwater. So
yeah, it is fascinating to see how the river has changed over the years. But it's also fascinating to me as somebody who was involved in some of the early stages commercialization of the internet. It is fascinating to me how much our physical retail legacy through places like Sears and Ward's, how much of that continues to draw investment and innovation in a digital age. So when we talk about product information management as a digital supply chain or a digital product management service, there's no real reason why it should be anchored in Chicago, except for if you look at the origins of retail. Much of modern retail is rooted in Chicago, so it's sort of interesting. I would imagine that most people at Groupon don't know a whole heck of a lot about Sears. They do know how retail is changing, and they are and they have taken this digital couponing approach, and so they've drawn in lots of creative technical and business minds. But the hangover, if you will, from the 1800s of retail continues to persist. And I think that's fantastic and does put Chicago in a good place going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So I'd love to talk about the future of Chicago as a digital retail hub. So what do you think the future holds for Chicago and for retail?
Well, I think with companies like Gladson, which is now Syndigo, there is also Quickie, which has recently been acquired. And there are others, both on the more modern side of product content. So managing product content for manufacturers. So many of the PIMs and master data management companies that are now located primarily or have satellite offices in Chicago, I would guess we probably have more of them concentrated in Chicago than we do in Boston or in Silicon Valley or in some other part of the world. So that concentration, what I think will happen, and this is all speculative, of course, but I think given the number of I won't put them in a size. Given the number of product information management, digital asset management, and master data management companies in Chicago, I think what will happen in the next few years is there will be more consolidation. And there will be consolidation because there is more capital available now in Chicago than there has been at any other time, and that's primarily due to a lot of the success for early stage companies at places like 1871 and MHub and some of the incubators that have gotten a lot of traction in Chicago. So you have innovation attracting capital, attracting maybe not as much capital as what has gone into the coasts, both Silicon Valley and in Boston area. But Chicago is unique in that companies that make it here have a bias toward operational proof points. So you can't, it's very hard to sell vaporware in Chicago. And so these product data management companies, PIMs, DAMs, MDMs, they are functional. They are operational. They are part of the logistics scene at some level, if you will. So if you look at certainly all the data management, but if you expand that one circle out to the logistics, the all of the young, aggressive logistics software providers in Chicago, you have this concentration of capital now that understands what supply chain is, what logistics is, what data management is. And I think as those companies are consolidated by private equity and other capital heavy organizations, you'll have some of the change agents for the global supply chain, for global retail, that will be anchored in Chicago. So I think the outlook is very bright for Chicago, but not just Chicago as a golly, we had a breakout software startup, but more as an anchor for what will be the future of supply chain. And that's really exciting. And so while I can't speculate on what individual companies may be breakout success, I think in aggregate, the logistics, the supply chain, the data management, all of that, which is really rooted in the operational brilliance of the 1850s and why many of these companies are anchored here, whether they know it or not, what I do think is that that foundation will become durable over time and will manifest as many of these companies are aggregated and more capital flows into the supply chain into Chicago.
It's pretty crazy to think about how Chicago's history as a logistics hub because of, you know, all the transportation that had to take place for retail in the past has turned it into a digital hub today and will probably continue to do so in the future. And who knows where we're going to be with, you know, technology in 20 or 50 or even 100 years down the line. But it'll be, you know, interesting to see if people look back in the future and say, wow, this, you know, this, the city started as like a logistics hub because of its central location in the country. And now everything is online. We don't even have physical stores, maybe. And yet Chicago is still at the center of all of this. So thanks for sharing all that, John. That's all really exciting stuff for me as a Chicagoan and hopefully for everybody listening. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Rethinking Supply Chain. Special shout out to all our Chicago friends out there, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. It's brought to you by Venzee, intelligent product content distribution for enterprise commerce. Learn more and say hello to us at venzee.com. That's V-E-N-Z-E-E.com.